You are Locked On 76ers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Wednesday to you. It's Wednesday, January the 17th. Excuse my voice. I'm battling a cold, trying to get over it. Some days I feel like it's working. My remedy is working. Some days it feels like it's not. This is one of those days where it feels like it's not. But that's enough about that. Let's talk about J.J. Redick. The Sixers announced yesterday that J.J. Redick will be out for at least 10 to 14 days with basically a fractured knee. It's bad. It's bad news. But I must say I'm not surprised. And again, I'm not. This isn't a knock against J.J. It's not a knock of saying, like, when I saw, it's not something that I saw when he ran off the court that I said, oh, it looked like he messed his knee up and he's going to be out for a couple weeks. No, what I mean is bad news about the 76ers in regards to injuries, in regards to players missing extended amount of time is not surprising to me. It's been this way since I start covering the beat on 2013-14 season, and it's definitely been this way this entire season. Now, it's funny, when you look at the Sixers roster, I'm talking about guys who have played in a game this season, right? And I'm even including Nick Stauskas and Jahlil Okafor. There's only one guy on the entire roster. Now, again, I'm not talking about the two-way guys. I'm talking about one guy on the entire roster that the 76ers have had this year who did not miss a game due to illness or injuries. And that was Timothy Luwalu-Cabaret. Now, again, that's just the regular season, because TLC missed games in the preseason, as we remember, because he was still overcoming knee tendonitis that he had from last year. So, you know, sometimes you wonder and you ask yourself, are the 76ers cursed? Because, you know, J.J. Redick is their best three-point shooter. He's shooting 40%. He's having a career year in regards to scoring averages, rebounds. You know, he's the leader of the team. He and Amir Johnson and you know, Trevor Booker in a certain extent, you know, new guy. But they're the veteran guys that they look up to. But he's the one who plays the most, so he has a more vocal role just because he's out there. And he's done for a couple weeks. And again, like, you know, what this bone is that has fractured is, the Sixers are saying left leg, but really is right. It's like the left knee is on the outside. It's like the lateral bone. It's like the lower part of your left knee near your calf. So, like the calf muscle. So, it's a bone. That's the bone that he fractured. You know, they're saying that it's a small fracture. So, he may be able to come back. But, you know, when you think of it, like, you know, you always say, like, what's a good time? There's never a good time for injuries, right? We all know that. But then, you know, when we look at it, you know, right now is January the 17th. Tomorrow they have Boston, which is a big game. Then on Saturday they have Milwaukee. Then they'll have on the 22nd they have Memphis on the road. Then they on the 24th they have Chicago at home. Then on the 26th they have the San Antonio Spurs. On the 28th, now this is on the road. This is going to be the San Antonio Spurs kick off a 4-game road trip. So you have the Spurs on the 26th. You have OKC on the 28th. Then the next night you have Milwaukee, right, on the 29th. You have an off day, and then you have Brooklyn, right? And that's on the 31st. So then we get into February, right? And then you have, on February 2nd, you have the Miami Heat. That's at home. And then you have the Indiana Pacers on the road. And then on the 6th, you know, who knows if he'll be back by then. But then you have the Washington Wizards at home. And then you have back-to-back games at home against on the 9th and the 10th of February against the New Orleans Pelicans and the, you know, the Clippers. So this is a tough time for a team that's, you know, I know there's, what's this? I know there's going to be, you know, there's going to be, we got like half a season left to play. But at the same time, this is a tough time for a 76ers squad that basically, you know, wants to make the playoffs. Someone else has to step up. Now, the good thing about the Sixers, and I know this is a guy who really the fans haven't really shown a lot of love to. They actually been really frustrated with his play, is that if you notice, you know, Jared Bayless will likely be the starting two guard in J.J. Redick's absence. Now, you know, Bayless has actually performed better in the starting lineup than he has coming off the bench. You know, if you're the Sixers, you don't really like hearing that, just because in a perfect world, you want him to be a lights-out scorer off the bench. But it just seems as if that his best games have come when he's in the starting lineup. So for right now, that's good. But you want to learn, you know, to incorporate him more when he's off the bench. So here's his numbers. So as a starter, he's averaging 11 points and shooting 40.4% on threes and 44.9% overall, right? When he's on the bench, when he comes off the bench, he's averaging 7.4 points, and his three-point percentage drops to 35.3%, and his shooting percentage drops to 40.1%. So, you know, I'm looking for him to have, you know, bigger games. I'm looking for him to produce. Now, the problem is, who's going to step up and take his job? Now, James Young is a guy who they acquired on a two-way deal. So, you know, maybe he'll get some opportunities. You know, Justin Anderson, you know, he could play the two or the three. He's more of a three, though. Timothy Luwalu, you know, TLC, he could possibly step up. Markelle Fultz. You know, Markelle Fultz will be the logical choice to come in. You know, now I understand that the Sixers don't really like his shooting form. Well, you know, they didn't like it beforehand. And so, you know, now it's one of those things where, as ugly as it is, you know, I look at him at pregame warm-ups and stuff and see how easy he gets to the rim. And from what I hear, he's hard to stop at getting to the rim at practice. You may just have to live with his shooting form being jacked up for right now. I believe that, you know, the Sixers, if they really, you know, want to move on to the next level, if they want to make the playoffs, you got to play people right about now. But, you know, getting back to Redick, you know, the hope is that he'll be back soon. You know, I know they say 10 days, 10 to 14 days, but they're saying that's like when the evaluation is. So, to me, typically, when they do stuff like that, it often means that either they expect them back at that time, or it's one of those things where, you know, in something like a fracture or something like that, it's just another checkup. You know what I mean? So, we'll have to figure out what it means. But, again, I cannot say that this is surprising for a team that just had so many injuries. I mean, not just this year, but in the past. It's kind of like every time someone gets hurt, and you know, especially with Joel Embiid, anytime someone falls to the ground, you're always asking yourself, like, uh-oh, what just happened now? You know, I don't know what it is. I've never, ever covered a team that's had this many injuries. Never. I mean, and when you talk to people, players, and you talk to, you know, people within the organization, they never been around a squad that had this many injuries. People in the league are amazed by the amount of injuries. And, you know, this one was a freakish accident. Some of them, a lot of them are. But it just seems like the Sixers just might be cursed when it comes down to keeping players healthy. I mean, that's the thing. Think about it. If Joel Embiid was 100%, if a lot of other players were you know, healthy and 100%, this Sixers team would have at least 5 more wins. But unfortunately, they haven't. And now they go down and they lose their $23 million guy for a little bit, a guy who's by far their best shooter. You know, Robert Covington now has to step up, you know, but he's in a little shooting funk. You know, and if you look at it, when you look at the 76ers' success, it's not about, I hate to say it, it's not about Embiid or Ben Simmons. Yeah, they get their points, but teams know they're going to get their points. It's about the three-point shooting. The Sixers need to have multiple three-point shooters have at least average games. That's it, average games. What that does is it opens things up. Lately, Redick has been the only one having a solid game. The last two matchups, Robert Covington and Dario Saric shot 1 for 5 in each of the last two games. Joel Embiid did the same thing from three. That's what we're talking about, from three. So if you don't get that, and the Sixers don't make their three-pointers. Now, they shot 24% from 3-1 the last game. So they proved that you can win with shabby three-point shooting. But I'm not betting on it. So Covington is going to have to step up. Dario's going to have to step up. And TLC and other guys are going to step up. And Brett Brown's going to have to think long and hard about bringing Markelle Fultz into a game. All right, I want to thank you all for listening, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Hey.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.